What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Dr. Gladys McGarry is the author of The Well-Lived Life, a 102-year-old doctor's 6 secrets to health and happiness at every age. Hi, Dr. McGarry.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Well, if you're listening and you caught the title of the book, it clearly says that you are 102 years old. Uh-huh. So I would imagine that many of the listeners want to know exactly what I want to know. What does a day in the life of a 102-year-old person look like?
You get up, you go to the bathroom, you eat breakfast, you do what you have to do, and you take a nap in the middle, after lunch, and then I walk. I have a walker, so I walk 3,800 steps a day, and I do what I have to do, and then I eat dinner, and then I go to bed, and then I sleep.
What is your bedtime, though? This is what I need to know.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay. This is not that much earlier than my bedtime.
Yeah. I get up at 6.
Okay. So you really value sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The afternoon nap is really important to me.
I've been doing it
since I was 98 years old or something.
Wow. Well, many people call you the true mother of holistic medicine and a true pioneer when it comes to, is it allopathic? Is that how I pronounce that?
Yeah, you got it.
Allopathic and holistic medical movements. So I know you're also a founding diplomat of the American Board of Holistic Medicine. And I was telling you before we started this podcast that I watched your TEDx talk. Right. And you talked a lot about the moment where you had the realization, wait, this is maybe like when you were studying medicine, you were like, I'm learning about all these ways to kill the things, but I want to know more. I want to know like the root. So what is it that drove you to get interested in holistic medicine?
Well, I came into this world so that I could do this. I mean, I was 2 years old when I told my parents, who were both osteopathic physicians, both missionaries in India, and we were living out in the jungles of North India because that's where their mission took them. And so I felt like I was in a good place to learn what I was going to do if I was going to do it. And I had my dolls, which they ended up in hospitals or something, and my sister wouldn't let me play with hers because they'd get injured.
You were so, doing doctor experiences on these dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was who I was.
Yeah.
And so the whole concept of the way my parents were dealing with the Indian people, who were the poorest of the poor, and had, my parents had no real wonderful equipment or anything like that. We were traveling in tents, so they had what they had, but mostly what they had was their attitude towards each patient. And the whole concept was everyone was important. What we had to do was to listen to them. I spoke Hindustani before I spoke English, so I could understand what they were saying too. And it was just part of my what I knew I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I got into the actual work that we were being taught, and it was right in the middle of the war, and even after the war, the lack of the listening to what the individual patient was saying was very, very obvious to me.
That makes sense. I feel like that is still probably pretty prevalent in the medical field. Do you agree with that?
Well, it can be, in particular now since computers have come.
Right.
And it's much easier for a patient, a physician, to look at what he sees on the computer and make a decision about the patient who's sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many patients I've had come back to me, or I see them after they've seen a specialist, and their comment is, but he never talked to me, or something like that. I think it's getting a little better now, but it's really been something that I've felt was missing in the field of medicine right mm-hmm. from the start of my mm-hmm. getting involved with it.
So what, if listeners are going, what is holistic medicine? Because I know, you know, some people really buy into it has to be full Western medicine, and just kind of, it sounds a little woo-woo maybe to look at this more holistically. Can you kind of explain what it even means when you talk about practicing holistic medicine?
Well, yes, I'll try.
Okay.
I think that we're total beings, body, mind, and spirit. And so what I was learning about in the field of medicine was a lot about the body and a lot about the mind, but I couldn't see where the love, the spirit aspect, the inner aspect of the patient was going. So for me, that was what was missing. In fact, when my oldest son, who just graduated, well, actually, he's a retired orthopedic surgeon now, but at the time, he had just graduated from his training in orthopedics and came through Phoenix. He was going down to Del Rio, Texas, to practice. And he said, Mom, I'm real scared. He said, I'm going into the world. And I'm going to have people's lives in my hands. He said, I don't know if I can handle that. And I said to him, well, Carl, if you think you're the one who is responsible for that, you really have some thinking to do, because it's your job to do what you've been trained to do, which is awesome. I mean, if you've got a broken leg, you want a good orthopedic surgeon to work with it. You don't want a bone setter or something. So it was do what you've been really trained and taught to do, and then help the patient who is now has the responsibility of doing the healing, mm-hmm. because it's the physician within each patient who actually does the healing. And so you do the best you can, and then you support the patient as they do their healing, and it's great. So I don't see the concept of holistic opposed to allopathic medicine, I see us working together. And the fact of the matter was, when we started the American Holistic Medical Association, it took us 2 years to decide how to spell holistic, because the word that we were looking for, the root word was health, healing, and holy. So it was that aspect, not whether you were going to be using herbs or some other modality. It was the very essence of who you were looking to as partners in this field that we were talking about.
So let's talk a little bit about when you started all of those things, because obviously I would imagine you've seen our culture shift a lot, and especially being a woman in this medical field, I would assume there's been some challenges, especially when you first started. Did you ever feel like there was some sexism you faced? I mean, I know a lot of that has changed. You're laughing. She's like, yeah. No, tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, yes. I went to Women's Medical College in Philadelphia, the only medical college for women at the time. And there were a few medical schools who took a woman here or there, but basically we were it. And their whole theme was that we were going to have a harder time finding a place for ourselves than the men, so they were going to make it harder for us in school. So we started with 50 students and ended up with 25. So even just the training was real strict. But when I started my first internship at Deaconess Hospital in Cincinnati, they had never had a woman doctor. And so I went, when I arrived for call, when I was on call for the weekend, there was no place for me to sleep. So I had the x-ray table and a blanket and a pillow, and I had that the rest of the time I was doing my internship, because there was no place. And I had patients who withdrew and said, no, go get me a doctor, you're a nurse. And I had nurses snatch charts out of my hands and say, you can't touch this. And I have to say, oh, yes, I can. And then they're in medicine. You know, it was all of that. But I won't even mention the names that I was called, and because I don't even want to remember them. But, you know, we were very weird, to say that.
You were the oddball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But people were beginning to think about it. Mm-hmm. So there were a number of us. There were the numbers began to grow when we began to talk about it and have conferences about it and so on. And so, yes, it changged, but it changed like it should, you know, properly. So right. I don't think of the whole field of medicine either as an either or. I don't think I either practice holistic medicine or I practice allopathic medicine. No, it's not the modality. It's the attitude with which you use that modality. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about me, you know I am a massive creature of comfort. It is one of my top priorities in life to make my surroundings comfortable at all times. So when I found Cozy Earth, I quickly scooped up all of the luxurious bedding and loungewear that I could. It felt very on brand for me, but then I went on a trip with a girlfriend not too long ago where she could not stop commenting on how cute and comfy my pajamas were, which then made me realize they may also be my new favorite travel companion as well. Guys, I am not kidding when I say you will experience unmatched softness and smoothness with all of Cozy Earth's products. The temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew add comfort and a touch of style to any travel ensemble, and their bedding comes in the most adorable totes, making it a super easy gift to give anyone. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code VELVETSEDGE at the checkout for an exclusive 35% off, and let them know we sent you when you're at the checkout.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the book. It's called The Well-Lived Life, which I would assume you have a lot to say about living 102 years. But you talk about six secrets that are the key to this well-lived life. So can you just tell us those secrets?
Well, yeah, you know, the first one, well, let me tell you a sort of a precursor to the...
Okay.
The five, what I call the five L's.
Okay. And
these are sort of the foundation beneath the others. The first L is life. Without life, there's nothing. Okay. So life, you have to start with life. But life without love can't do anything. You have a seed in a pyramid that's there for 5,000 years. And it's got all the energy of the universe within that shell, but it can't do anything until water reaches it until love reaches out for it. So when love and life get together, life starts. And then it can go on and it goes on and it has to keep moving. But so that's the first L.
Okay.
The second one, of course, is love, which activates the life. But the third one is laughter. Laughter without love is cruel. It's mean. Mm-hmm. It's cold. But laughter with love is joy and happiness. And oh, my life is good, you know?
Yes.
The fourth one is labor. Labor without love is drudgery. Oh, man, I got to get to work. Too many diapers, you know, mm-hmm. just too much. But labor with love is bliss. It's why a singer sings. It's why a painter paints. It's why you're doing what you do. Mm-hmm. It's what I do, It's what makes our hearts sing.
Mm-hmm.
So that labor with love. And the fifth one is listening. Listening without love is empty sound. It's a clanging gong. It's empty sound. But listening with love is understanding.
Mm.
So with these five L's, you can begin to see where my whole concept of medicine goes. So in the book, and the six secrets are ways in which we can begin to apply these. And we've got little ways in which you can do it. Get the book.
She's like, I'm not giving away my secrets. I love that all of those things that you just mentioned are completely different when you remove love from the equation.
Oh, where did
you... Let's go ahead.
The activating factor for life. It just is everything in life. When and love has to move. It has to grow. It has to keep going. If you stop growing, if you stop moving, it dies.
Mm.
Love has to reach out. It has to go beyond. It has to reach towards the light. It's what is constantly helping us to grow into our true humanity.
Mm. How do you think you learned that lesson?
By living it. Actually, my parents were amazing. They were both humble people who we lived out in the jungle and they took care of patients. And I tell the story about my mother treating an elephant and all of that kind of thing. You know, there were things that we watched and helped with as we're growing up children in the jungles. It was a way in which what was important was what we understood. Mm-hmm. Without that, I would have been really floundering. But the way my parents were working with life, the way they treated us, the way they treated everybody, was something that always included love. Mm. And I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, as I've looked back.
Right. I would imagine that over 102 years, you know, life is always kind of up and down. I've learned that in my 40 years. So I'd imagine in 102 years, you've seen some major ups and some major downs. What would you say to people like me or just the listeners about kind of riding those waves and not getting stuck in the hardships of life, but focusing more on the love and kind of getting back to that energy?
Try raising 6 kids.
I didn't know you did that.
And so when we started our practice, my husband is a physician too. We started in his hometown.
Okay.
And then he was called back into the Korean War. And I was left there when I came to town, nobody wanted to have a woman doctor, so I'd have to have Bill come and check. Then he'd do the same thing I had done, you know.
Right.
And finally, by the time he left and went into the service, I was the only doctor in town. And now everybody came. When I was sick myself with the mumps, they went up the back steps of the hospital and to consult with me. And my colleagues took me home to their home and connected the IV with a curtain rod. That kind of thing. I had to escape from my patients finally. But when I was so tired doing those years, I would come home and my son Bob, who was 18 months old at the time, I had 4 kids in 4 years, which I thought was a good idea.
Wow.
I wanted them to be, I knew I was going to be in and out, but I wanted them to be partners with each other, and it worked. Excuse me. So when I would come home, he'd be sitting on the front steps of the house, and I'd pick him up and go in and sit down in the rocking chair, and he'd pat my shoulder until life came back into focus for me. It was a very important way of weaving in my own life process with the whole thing, all the things that were going on with the patients who I was working with.
What do you mean? It's
been vital in my whole, and in fact, my youngest daughter mm-hmm. was my partner until I retired from the active practice of medicine. And she's still, a physician here in town.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
What I'm taking from that, and let me make sure I'm getting this clearly, but I hear, and I was having a conversation with my dad about this morning, actually, but just the importance of community for all of us. Absolutely. And connection. Is that sort of what you're saying? Is like you get through the hardships, you ride the ups and downs with your people and your community.
Absolutely. And I've decided that you don't just get over something.
Okay.
If you live through it, everything is a teacher.
Mm.
Hard times are some of the best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And because they if we can move through the difficult, painful times and learn what that whole process is all about, then we've actually lived that essence of what our inner being was trying to teach us, because I think that's what this is all about, is learning and growing and mm-hmm. moving and keeping on moving. Mm-hmm. And not getting, and if you get stuck, you keep moving until you get unstuck.
What does that look like on a day-to-day for you? I know it's Mental Health Awareness Month, so I'd like to give people just kind of tangible tips on, you know, how to get unstuck. If you're feeling that stuck, what does it look like to keep moving forward?
Well, for me, it's absolutely awesome. I'm talking to you, for crying out loud. You know, when I didn't even have a telephone until I started in college, where the thing scared the living bees out of me. But, you know, and here we can do this kind of thing.
Right. We're on a Zoom call.
If you keep on learning with each of the things that you have allowed yourself to be faced with,
mm-hmm.
then it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely awesome. And I forget what you asked me.
Well, that was sort of it. Like, what's the tangible, or maybe what are the tangible ways to keep moving forward? And so what you just said is to keep learning, maybe.
To keep learning and reaching for the light.
Okay.
I have a visual of, I have a flashlight, okay?
Okay.
Flashlight. But as I'm going along, all I can see is the next step ahead that flashlight is lighting up for me.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm going along that way, a lot of times there's someone else whose flashlight isn't quite as bright, and they're struggling, and they're kind of stuck. But maybe if I reach over with my flashlight and help them with the light that's on the problem or the issue or whatever it is that they're doing, then sometimes even without them even knowing it, I'm helping them, you know, find the light and move with it and move forward.
Yeah.
And that's what it, if you want to turn around, look over your shoulder and say, oh man, this is awful, you'll mm-hmm. really get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can look forward and look up and reach out, you know, E.T., he wanted to go home. He's talking his true humanity.
Hmm. Well, the book, as we mentioned, is called The Well-Lived Life. And I'm going to put the link to that book in the podcast so you guys can hear the six secrets. So in the book, you said you give the six secrets and then you kind of talk through different tangible tools.
Yes. Each secret has ways in which you can work through this, work with us so that if you're stuck, if there's something that you don't understand, it, we give you a chance to really physically do something that it's like there are things that, that really we hang on to that we don't need to. My mother taught me that. My sister and I were in our 90s and we were talking and we'd do this and we'd talk a little bit more and we'd do this. And one of us said to the other, we don't know which, why do we do that? And we did it all the time. And we said, well, I guess it means kuch parwane, which in Hindustani means it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then we said, who did that? And we looked at each other and both of us said at the same time, Mama did it. Okay, why did she do that? And we thought about it and we said, kuch parwane. And the whole story is that my mother was wise enough that she understood that in life, a lot of times things happen and we have options. We can, it's like say somebody calls you a bad name. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You take it in and it hurts, you know? And you know, you think it's really bad. That hurts real bad. But if you hear it and you catch it in your hand and it comes towards you, and you just let it drop down like petals and let it go and say, it doesn't matter. Kuch parwane means it doesn't matter. And you let it go. My sister and I realized that from our mother's actual action of her hand, she had taught us that there were many, 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 many times in life when you had the choice of either taking something in and feeling hurt by it or allowing it to happen and letting it go. And if you let it go, you don't even remember what it was.
Right. You know, people spend most of their lives learning to let go of things, let go of attaching to things like that. I love that motion that you're doing. It's just like this, she's dropping her hand and just kind of moving it backwards.
Yeah, it's not even offensive. It's not like,
right.
No.
Right. Oh, well, Dr. McGurry, thank you so much for being here. You guys go get the book, The Well-Lived Life. You are a living testament to obviously the well-lived life. So I really appreciate you being here and talking and sharing your stories with us.
Can I say a quick?
Of course.
To that. When we were working with the title, I really didn't like that title because I thought it meant me, the well-lived life. And finally, the publisher said, no, we're talking about the people that read it.
Right.
So it's not, I'm telling about my life.
Okay.
However, the book is for the person that's reading it.
Okay. So we can have a well-lived life.
Yes.
I like that.
All right.
Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
You're welcome.
It was so nice to meet you, and thank you guys so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one, or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.